Hi, everyone, and welcome to Badminton Lights Out, a feature of the Badminton Podcast,
where we take you behind the scenes of high-performance badminton.
I'm Gronya.
I'm Justine. Let's dive into it. But before we start our topic, we would like to each share a fact of the day. Okay, Gron, what's yours? Did you Google it this time?
I had some outside assistance, but mine is about sleep. Everybody sleeps, but on average, it takes the average person 7 minutes to fall asleep. Is that surprising or not? That's less.
Does that mean I'm sleep deprived because I can sleep in less than 7 minutes?
No, it just means you bring the average down for the people that take like an hour every night.
How long does it take you?
Sometimes I'd say like up to an hour if I'm like buzzed.
Oh. Well, anyway, my turn. That's actually really crazy. I've never thought about it. Last night I did have trouble sleeping, but most of the time I'm like knocked out the moment I'm in bed. All right. My fact of the day is, you guys might already know in the previous podcast that I've been reading Harry Potter. So my fact of the day is about Harry Potter. Did you know that J.K. Rowling and Harry Potter share the same birthday, 31st of July?
Mm.
I didn't know that. Interesting, right? Go read Harry Potter.
I was going to say that's taxes day, but it's not. That's a month later.
Everybody has different taxes day. No, they're all the same.
Oh, I don't know. In Australia, the end of financial year is like 30th of June.
Actually, I don't know. But anyway.
Do you pay taxes, Justine?
Well, I'm an employee, so I don't have to do it. Our accountant does it for us, so thank goodness. Fair enough. Is legal.
Why are your eyes looking like you're guilty?
I'm not. So our main topic of this podcast is things we wish we knew when we were young.
Now, just a quick word from our sponsors. As people who love badminton, we all know that it's not just about the sport itself. It's about the connections you make and the things that it teaches you as a person that you're able to bring to all of the other parts of your life. That's why we want to introduce you to the book Mirror of Magico, written by Al Liao, a former Taiwanese national badminton player who is as passionate about badminton as us. For those who love Harry Potter, you want to give this one a read, because Al has authored a fantasy story where three different characters with varying personalities go on a journey of adventure and learning, and they realize that things don't just happen to you, they happen because of you. And by being yourself and spending time in your dreams, you can conquer the evils and be the best version of yourself. So make sure you check it out. Mirror of Magico, written by Al Liao. You can find it in all leading bookstores, and we'll leave the link in the podcast description.
We're not singing on the pod.
I'm sorry.
Sorry. You can sing a little bit since you can actually sing.
I'll bleep it. So what was the one thing there could be many things that you wish you knew, but you can start off.
One of the main things I guess I wish I knew with my eternal wisdom that I have in my old age of 26 years old was probably how slow the process would be to getting to like the top 20, 15 in the world. And yeah, I guess just the process that it goes through and how long it takes. I feel like as a junior, you kind of, you know, you might become like the best in your country, and then you're playing world juniors, and then you're still like young and everything's kind of, I don't know. I feel like junior, anything you do, everyone's like, wow. Like, and then you get to like seniors and it's cool at the start and you're still young, so it's fine. And then you kind of get to like mid 20s and it's like, okay, it's getting a bit stagnant here. So I guess like, yeah, knowing that it takes time, but that through that process, you can like have those good improvements and you can get where you want to be. It's just the long game more so.
Yeah. Like once you hit your 20s, right, people kind of just expect you to be good. And whatever you achieve, it's like, oh yeah, she's already in her 20s. Like,
yeah, it's like downhill from 25. No. Yeah. And I guess with that, I feel like when you're young, you want to get there so quickly that you can be exposed to like burnout a bit as well, because you might be getting some good results. You're like, oh, I can just push harder, I can just do this more, then I'll be even better. And that's when, you know, when you're 5-10 years into like the world tour, that's when it gets like really tiring, and you need to kind of be aware of balancing all the other aspects of your life as well, and not putting everything into badminton at one time. And yeah.
When did you realize like how slow the process was?
I guess probably like, because Setiana and I started partnering in, I think around 2015. So around 6 years ago. I think like the first 2 years of that, we were just like flying. Like we were a new partnership. We were getting good results. We won like, I think that was 2016. We won the Dutch Open, Canada Open. That was our highest ranking. We got to 18 in the world. And then I guess we kind of just expected that we would kind of keep that, that trajectory going upwards a little bit. And, you know, injuries played into it. And now like the COVID and everything, it's just, it's been a whole roller coaster. And I guess our expectation was that we would just keep getting better and better and better, but it's, you can't really have that necessarily in sport. There's so many other factors, and especially in badminton, you can be improving in something, but then something else might fall off and you might, you know, go backwards in another aspect. So it's really this fine balance of managing your improvement and like your expectations, and not like, you know, when we used to play more international challenges, that kind of thing, you feel better because you're winning more, you're getting good results. And then when you jump to that next stage of more super series, there's a lot of first round losses, second round losses, and it's hard pill to swallow when you're going from, you know, winning a lot to having to be in a country for 5 days after a loss. And yeah, it's totally different, like mind game dealing with that as well.
It's almost like accepting that nothing really, it doesn't always go to plan, right? Like it's not just one line.
Yeah, yeah, to be exactly. Adaptable. Kevin Cordon is the prime example there.
Yeah. Damn, he's probably so famous right now in how do you properly say it? Because I feel like I butcher it.
I say Guatemala.
Guatemala, okay.
Guatemala.
Nice. That's what I would have said as well, surely.
Sure.
Guatemala. No, Guatemala.
Okay, so how about you?
Me? I think the biggest thing was that there are different styles of training. Because with New Zealand, we're so far from all the other countries. It's almost like a luxury to travel outside of New Zealand to train, you know? And most of the time when we do train, go for training, it's like in the Asian countries. And with New Zealand, badminton is very Asian dominated. So when I went to Europe for the first time and saw that there were different styles of training, I was like, whoa, this is insane. Like how are you able to do 1 minute routines, you know, and still be so intense? And it was actually really crazy. And I found that like once I found that style, just finding the balance, I think, of your coaching style. I mean, the coaching style that you get and the training style that you use, and if that suits you, you improve so much, because like one training style might not be what would help you improve. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think a huge part is getting experience, especially when you're young, from all these different, like trying to, you know, travel to different countries, learn from different coaches from different backgrounds, and really being open to different environments and different styles, so that you can figure out what works for you, which things from one style you like, which things you don't like. And try and optimize your training in that way.
Yeah, exactly. And even if you train in different Asian countries, like Malaysia would be different training to Indonesia, and Indonesia would be different training to Singapore. So it's really cool to see all those different kinds of training and apply it to your training and see what suits you best, I think.
Yeah.
And also I wish I knew, like, you can improve so much quicker when you find other players who are in the same mindset or goal as you, you know, because sometimes it could be around people who has a different goal, who kind of just wants to be, you know, good, but not the same goal where they don't really want to compete in this competition, but you do. So they probably won't push as hard as what you would want to do, you know? So
yeah.
I think that it was really good to find people who were in the same mindset as me. What about you, girl? Would you agree?
Yeah, I guess even, you know, there might be players who have a similar goal to you, but they might love to just train physical and train like really hard, whereas maybe your focus is more like technical. So finding someone that aligns with your like specific things that you're wanting to work on as well. And that applies to coaches as well. Maybe you have a really great coach, but they're not very good at the technical side of coaching, but they're awesome in technical. So did I just say the same thing? Tactical, or, you know, like finding one that works for the specific thing that you're wanting to work on as well. And just with the whole thing about European training, I remember when we went there the first time, like just how people in Europe, like they're going to, like it's how they train, they're used to it. But I guess for us, like when you go there, the, to explain the intensity, it's like when you make a mistake in the rally, they pick up the shuttle intensely. Like they're like sprinting to the shuttle to pick it up and start the rally straight away. Like how else would you describe it? Just the differences. Like if you're feeding like tap downs at the net and somebody's driving back, like the person tapping down or, you know, feeding is working just as intensely. Yeah. Whereas in Asia, it's like the feeder's kind of sleeping. Like they're just chilling. Doesn't really matter if they make a mistake. They pick up, they're like just meander across to pick up the shuttle. The drill's going for 10 minutes. So you can't keep the intensity anyway.
Yeah, but I think because of the time difference of each exercise, your mindset kind of feels like, oh, at 10 minutes, I still have more time to, you know. But again, I think that's also, it differs to each player, because I'm sure maybe there's someone crazy out there who can do the 1 minute intensity for as long as 10 minutes, you know, that's wild. But yeah, it's just different. I totally get what you mean. And I think in the European culture, if they want something, they really, really want, and they'll tell you. Meanwhile, in like the Asian training, it's kind of like, oh, you know, I'm sure they'll get it right and soon in the next shot, maybe. They won't be like, oh, you do it properly. You know, meanwhile, the Europeans are like, do it right, or, you know, I'll get angry at you. Which I think is like good.
Yeah. And that's something I feel like in Australia and New Zealand, our, like the juniors coming up, the culture is more that Asian style where they don't, that's why it's like, I tell everyone to try get to Europe and like experience that training, or like bring it into our training a bit more, because it's just such a different thing. Anyway, back on topic.
Yeah. Yeah. And just surrounding yourself with the right people, to be honest. Yeah. Because some you'll find people won't agree with your goal, or you won't feel comfortable sharing your goal with. And I think it's really important to constantly talk about your goal with someone to keep you in line and make you accountable. So definitely surround yourself with the right people.
Sorry, just on that. As a junior, I feel like sometimes there's, you know, the politics around badminton where you're in this club and you can't change clubs and that kind of thing as well. Whereas, I don't know, I feel like your coaches and your club, whoever, your parents especially, they should want what's best for you. And if that doesn't align with, you know, all the politics going on, it's maybe if they're just not the right one for you. And sometimes it can be tricky and you have to go through a phase of like uncomfortable changes, but you have to kind of do what's right for you in your career. And sometimes that means, changing clubs, even changing countries. You know, we see players do that a lot.
And it's honestly not wrong to voice out what you want to do, because I think people get scared to say, oh, this is how I want it, or this is what I want. And once you voice it out, then if they don't agree with you, then you could reach into a compromise, but it's not like you're attacking them or anything. You know what I mean? Like, don't be afraid to say what you want.
Yeah, that's our motto. Like, we both have slightly passive boyfriends that are just like, oh, it's okay, like I'll let it slide, and we're just like, just tell them, like, just get it done. We're like the total opposite. So like,
if this is what you want, then why don't you just ask for it? And if they don't want you to do it, then they'll tell you, you know what I mean? Like, if it's not gonna happen, it's not gonna happen. At least you said something.
Yeah, whereas we have no shame, we're just like running straight into it. It's like, oh well, we'll be fine either way.
Now, just a quick word from our sponsors. The Badminton Podcast is brought to you by Volant. Volant was first born out of our frustration with the confusing, bright, and unsightly clothes and equipment that we saw in the badminton world. But now, it's so much more than that. Our mission is to accelerate the growth of badminton by providing players with products that enhance their love for the sport. All in all, it's high quality gear that makes you look and feel great on and off the court. So make sure you check us out at volantbadminton.com and follow us on our socials at volantbadminton.
Okay, so another thing we wish we knew when we were young. I guess one of the things for me is just like how hard it would be in general. Coming from like a smaller country, it's very... I mean, at the start, I kind of had it a bit cushy because I was in this development program that was government funded. We got like given all this new Yonex stuff before we could even hold a racket properly. We got some awesome, you know, experience. All these kids, like all the juniors that have been playing for years, we just walk in with like our new racket bags and all these like new Yonex rackets. And we like total noobs, total noobs on the court. And they were just like, what the fuck is this?
You're one of those people that always have the latest gear, right? And then when you get on court, you don't actually know how to play.
Yeah, that was it. But we got given it. I mean, it's not like you're not going to use it if you get given it. But so, yeah, a bit cushy at the start. And I think definitely as the years went on, I realized how much, you know, I have to take responsibility for my career and how much I have to, you know, plan out what I want, ask the coaches of what I need. I kind of took that to the point of like asking for a new partner at one point as well. Just kind of really making it what, like, you know, taking control of your future. And even within training sessions, like just that mental push every day of wanting to get the most out of the session and working with the people around you to get that. It's hard work. And especially, you know, traveling, sometimes it's just like me and Setiana, no coach. It's not always going to be easy, but I guess having that goal and the things in place to keep you motivated and that make it worth it as well.
Yeah. And then I think the tricky thing about it is like the more independent you want to be, people tend to see you as like bossy or I don't know, really demanding.
I think I have that perception as well.
Yeah.
I mean, people have that perception as
okay. Yeah, exactly. People will be like, oh, she always whatever gets what she wants. But I'm like, if you just voice what you want, it just you might actually get it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. If you want it, then ask for it.
Yeah, which like leads us to our next point of being like self-aware. You obviously know yourself the best, if what's working for you, what's not working for you. So I think voicing it really helps. And obviously your coach will be there to help you, right? If for those that have coaches, and if they don't know what's going into your head, like it might look like it's working for them, but it's not working for you internally. Like, how are they supposed to know? You can't just be like, oh, I hate this coach. I really hate this exercise, but he or she keeps making me do it. Like, how are they supposed to know that? You know? So
communication is key.
Yeah. And also with self-awareness, like, you know how hard you can push and how, like, what's your limit and what's not. And I think that comes with injuries. You know, you and I, maybe just me, I don't know, I'm quite injury prone. Now I am. So like, I know my limit. Like, I feel that this is probably like the hardest I can go for today, but the people around you probably don't think you're trying as hard, but like, look, today mentally, I'm honestly, I just can't push anymore. And people need to know that. And again, everyone around hopefully will understand and just make the most of the situation. And
I think that definitely comes with time as well. You know, as a junior, sometimes you don't have that straight away. You need I think most juniors will probably try pushing through a few injuries and learn from that it doesn't often work out better for you. And then maybe they're a bit too scared of injury and they'll stop before, like at an earlier point when then they realize, oh, you know, I could have pushed a little bit more and I could have like maintained this and it would have gone down. So it's that constant maintenance of your injuries as well as kind of adding to your experience and your, you know, your bank of self-awareness of you and your body about, you know, the feelings you have when, you know, if you have a reoccurring injury, the triggers or the little signs that it gives you about when you need to ease back, when you can push, or, you know, better learning the recovery methods that help with that as well. That's why I spend so much time on my recovery now and like why I'm probably a bit less injury prone, because I know those little signs, those little triggers that are like a little red light flashing for me where it's like, okay, I need to see the physio, get this checked before I go do a crazy exercise or go play this tournament, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think we're both really lucky because we're in this like generation of badminton where our coaches have probably learned from their previous coaches who would have just told them to push through. And I think the coaches now would understand like there is a balance between like pain and like not pushing through the pain. So they would understand, like they start to understand the importance of gym nowadays, which I think ever since I got injured when I tore my ACL, the strength and conditioning part is so important because I can see myself improve. And honestly, it just helps for the longevity of your career. And I think we mentioned this before that players these days are getting older, but still having a career up to like 30s. So, which is really, really good. Honestly, ask for help. Ask for help from the right people. I think that's key. If you're going to ask someone, let's say you're going to ask like a scientist about food that doesn't really make sense. It's kind of like with strength and conditioning, if you want to know more about strength and conditioning, go to a strength and conditioning coach. Don't go to this like technical badminton coach that won't make sense.
Yeah, so find the experts around you who you know who you get along with and who are there and will be supporting you. And even in terms of coaches, like, try to be open to ones that you come across, you know, throughout your career. Maybe they're obviously not your direct coach anymore, but you could have a good relationship with them or have, you know, get along well, and you can just shoot them a message every now and then. I do that with like coaches in, you know, all different countries. Every now and then they might say, oh, good match about something. And then I'll be like, oh yeah, what do you think? Like, do you think there's anything we could improve on? That kind of thing. They're not obligated to, you know, give me any specific coaching feedback or whatever, but you know, if you treat people with respect and they know you're hardworking and like through that, they want the best for you as well. Often they just want to help. Coaches are there to kind of teach and help their players.
Yeah.
And even if you're not the direct player, they're usually pretty open to giving you feedback and supporting you in whatever way they can.
Exactly. And like, hopefully they don't take it personally. Like, I think we mentioned before about the different styles of coaching or different styles of training. There's also different styles to how coaches coach. And you might be good friends with someone, and but you just don't feel as though like it's your way of learning. I think take the hard step, like take the bite and like find someone who you think you would mingle with, because there's technically like technical part of badminton is such a huge part of your game. So if you don't agree with or you don't communicate well with the technical coach you're working with, it's going to be like a really long ride. And also you're going to be paying for this coach, which is like super expensive if you're not getting it for free. So I don't think people realize how expensive this sport is, right, Gran?
Yeah, leads into that. So yeah, I feel like as a junior you're pretty unaware of this sometimes. I guess in general I wasn't aware of money that much as a kid. It's just like, mom, can I have this? Yes, no, kind of thing. But as you get older, you're like, okay, this money for these things was coming from somewhere. It was a lot more expensive than I was aware of. It's a lot harder to make that amount of money back. So just, I guess you need to know that high performance sport and all the things that come with it, like flights, accommodation, coach, court hire, all those kind of things are expensive. And that this lifestyle isn't for everyone. It takes a certain type of person to, I guess, you know, you really need to want it to be able to put some other things in your life on hold. You know, whether that be like relationships, starting a family, your education, your other career aspirations, it has to really be a conscious choice of wanting to go after this. And I guess it's also, you know, good to have a bit of a plan about, you know, if it works, if it doesn't work, some backup options, like if you do a degree simultaneously, if you, you know, you go and work heaps for like 1 or 2 years while still training, and then you try and go on tour for, you know, the next couple of years as well, or kind of like what I've done, more leaning into like social media and finding sponsors and supporting my career in that aspect, just kind of having a bit of a plan and I guess, you know, stepping into those big adult shoes that we hate, that are so annoying.
Being proper adult is so hard.
I know, right? Like bloody taxes. Like what? Nobody told me about taxes when I was a kid. I don't even understand. But yeah, I guess, you know, understanding that a bit younger can really make your career a lot easier and kind of save some of the missteps that might result in, you know, you missing a whole year of training because you want to focus on your study, and then it's really hard to make that up, or vice versa, you go too hard in badminton and then you feel like you have nothing outside of it and you feel behind in uni or whatever, that kind of stuff. How about you? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I definitely agree. And with the whole money thing, I think if you just understand it when you're young, then maybe you can start saving on it now and probably plan how you can make money in the future, you know, like you said about
cryptos.
Cryptocurrency, please. No, I'm kidding. Oh yeah,
buy like, your Bitcoin now.
Buy Bitcoin, buy Dogecoin, please. No, I'm kidding. No, we are not financial advisors, disclaimer.
All the stonks
you mentioned, like top level, how much do you think it would cost a year just to compete in a normal like circuit?
I think like world class, playing the tour and all the other expenses around training, it's around $100,000 Australian for an athlete to compete at that level. you know, a lot of players in Asia, they're through the association, so their costs aren't as obvious to them. You know, they might stay at dorms, they get stuff paid for, and then they get a salary, that kind of thing. But I think independent player, that's what you kind of need to work around. Obviously, you know, if you're playing just more local tournaments, or you know, there's other ways to be based. Like a lot of players go play the European League, make some money there, play the European circuit there as well. There's just a lot of ways you can approach it, and I guess finding out what works for you. And with that, I guess you need to be kind of open to all the travel that's involved, and also like the different cultures. Like, you know, maybe you need to be able to adapt to going and being based in Asia to do a circuit there, or to play Malaysian Purple League or whatever. And also like making friends on tour as well. You can find some great friends through that. And through that, you know, you might train at their clubs. And you went and trained at in Denmark at a club as well. You made some great friends there, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think that just having an open mind to everything, it just makes the whole experience, I think they travel badminton player experience, so much easier. Because if you're set to only thinking like, this is the right way, this is the right training, then I can't imagine someone, I don't know, like, what would you, flowering as well into the sport, you know? Because if you're not open, then you won't know what's good and what's bad. And if you, I mean, if you, for example, you like the training environment you're in, and that's good. And if you go out and try something else, and at least if you don't like it, then you know for sure what your training style is.
Yeah, but you can't be too close-minded, I feel like, in badminton.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's about it. Do you want to summarize that for us?
Summarize. All right, so the summary. So one of the first thing you said was it is a slow process. I remember one time I was like, yay, I'm going to move to Auckland. I'm going to be so good in a year. It was not good in a year, like, honestly. Did not happen. Not at all.
5 years later.
5 years later, I'm like, why am I still the same?
I haven't grown a centimeter.
Literally. Nah, but honestly, it is a slow process. Pace yourself, and you gotta trust the process. And if you surround yourself with the right people, they will help you get to where you want to be, as long as you're committed as well.
Sorry, one more thing. Like, you gotta make it enjoyable as well. Like, if you don't enjoy it, and it's slow and it's hard, then it's really hard to stay in it. So find ways to keep it fun.
Yeah, and also there'll be a point where, for example, you just started and you took this seriously. The first year or two will probably, you'd probably see exponential growth, which is what you and Osetiana experienced, right? And then eventually it'll, like, you can't really grow exponentially as quick as as for those that don't know why I'm laughing, it's on the YouTube video, you'll see the grunting, like
a roller coaster ride.
Yeah, it is a roller coaster ride. But anyway, our second point for the summary: find program, system, routine that works for you, whether that be changing clubs, countries, or new coach, because you know yourself best. So go and explore. And three, it will be hard. You need to take responsibility for your career. What do you think, Ron? Like, do you think you would have been able to get to where you are if you just, like, went with the flow? And
no, not at all. No, I would be nowhere near where I am if I hadn't approached badminton with, like, the intensity and the proactiveness, and maybe you know, that go-getter slightly aggressive style that I bring to most things. I might not even like be in the sport if I just got fed up with, you know, stuff not happening how I want it to happen, or, you know, not making the progress I wanted. That leads to dropout rates in sport.
At the end of the day, it's only you that can get to where you want to be, and no one else. You can be your own hero. That should be the quote of the quote of the podcast. Be your own hero. Be your own motivation.
You gotta take responsibility for your career. You know, at the start, your parents, coaches, they can push you really hard and get you to a certain point, but after that, you're really on your own, and if you're not putting in the work, that's going to reflect in your results. And
exactly. And try to learn from what you do right and wrong as quickly as possible, because that's, like, the best way to move on. It's like a building block. Okay, this is wrong. Build on it, you know, put in your backpack. And then Yeah, and also badminton, especially another part of the summary, badminton, especially from a smaller country or like as an independent player, I lost my, was like, it's super expensive. So have backup plans, get a job, please. If it's not funded, your parents can't pay for you your whole life, unfortunately. If you have someone to thank for your badminton journey so far, go ahead and thank them today, okay? Because this shit is expensive.
Not to deter anyone, but
yeah it's actually good. So thanks, mom, when I was a junior. Maybe still now, maybe. But yeah, and also last point is be open to new experiences and learning from anyone, wherever, anyone, whatever, whichever, whenever, whoever you can,
however
and learn as much as you can. Be open to change.
Nice, good wrap up. All right, and with other episodes, how we like to finish is giving our listeners a little challenge or task that they can implement right now, right here, right now. Do you have one for our challenges this week? No. Do you have one for our listeners this week, Jazzy?
Yes, I do have one for our listeners this week as our challenge. My challenge for them would be for self-awareness. It will be related to our podcast today. Ask your friend. This is something I do often all the time, by the way. Often all the time. That's pretty much the same thing.
Remember, you sent me this survey.
Yeah, I sent you the survey. It was like, how was I 6 months? I don't know what I did. I sent
your,
a survey.
Your survey was like, rate me as a friend or something.
I still do that because I just want to improve, you know?
You're and like, so, I need to be a better friend. And I was like, okay, like, I'll be a friend.
At the time, you were like, she's not even my friend.
She doesn't even go here.
That was my challenge is ask your friend or your teammate what you think you can improve on and don't take it personally, because it's one thing to ask for help and it's another to take the criticism. So please, when you ask for help, don't take it personally.
I was going to say, I think, like, you know, when you're training in a group, you notice what other people are good at and what they aren't good at. But, you know, depending on who they are and your relationship with them, you're often too shy to say it, or, you know, they might take it personally. So I think you can learn a lot from the people around you who see you every day, work with you every day. So really try and take advantage of that and be brave and have no shame in it and just ask a simple question, and it might lead to a lot of good things. Yes. Yeah. So my little challenge, I do this in as like my goal setting for the year across other categories, but this one is going to be specific to badminton. So my challenge is to rank yourself out of 10 in these 5 categories. So tactical awareness, fitness, or, you know, like your physical ability, technical ability, off-court professionalism, and sport life balance. So the ranking will be out of 10, with 10 being awesome and 0 being bad. So rank where you are right now, realistically, and then where you also want to be in the future. So, you know, obviously everyone wants to be a 10 in, like, eventually, but like realistically where you want to be at out of 10. And then the difference between where you want to be and where you are, that is how you prioritize what you should focus on the most. So it kind of gives a bit of a subjective way to realize, oh, you know, this is actually what I really like, what I subliminally want to improve on a lot. Subliminal. It's U-B-L-M-I-L-L-Y. But yeah, so that's a good way. Mic down. That's one way to kind of to figure out what to focus on. Yeah. Okay. Deep breath.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So since we talk a lot, I'm going to summarize our challenge. My challenge is to ask your friend or your teammate what you think you can improve on and don't take it personally. And Grania's summary of her challenge is rank yourself out of 10 in the 5 categories, which is tactical awareness, fitness, technical ability, off-court professionalism, and sport life balance.
Yeah. Cool. So should I summarize those summaries as well? In summary of our summary.
In conclusion. Okay.
Let's wrap it up.
wrap it up. Go.
Dear.
For the challenge, let us know how those challenges go on the comments of this episode or the next. Anyway, to wrap it up, Thank you for listening to Badminton Lifestyle by The Badminton Podcast.
We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed recording it for you.
But don't forget to like, comment, and share this episode because it's available on all platforms. Follow us on Instagram, the handle at The Badminton Podcast, no spaces.
And make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. It is Badminton Lights Out. And stay tuned for our next episode. See you.